Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord, as we could come into Thy presence as New Jerusalem Church. We thank You, Father, that Your presence is open to us. As washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with Thy Holy Spirit, Father, Thy bone of Thy bones and flesh of Thy flesh, as me, Brother Jose, and Brother Max, Father, as we ascend up into the Holy of Holies, straight into the presence of God, and sit with Thee, kneel down and cast our crowns before the throne with the 24 elders and the innumerable multitude, worshipping Thee and praising Thee, we wait in Thy presence for Thy word, Father. Speak to us, strengthen us, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of Thy mouth, our Heavenly Father. Speak to us and strengthen us by the manna that You're about to give, that You rained upon Thy children in the wilderness. Let Thy name be exalted, for in Jesus' precious name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us turn to the book of Ephesians, and let us go to 3rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19. Now, the preamble to this is, Apostle Paul is praying that the church will be rooted in love. I've been to many denominations, many churches, and one thing that I immediately noticed is there are differing levels in spectrum of the love that the preachers and the congregation have for Jesus. Everyone's face is different, everyone looks different, everyone dresses different. But when you measure the people's love and the preacher's love, you see that there are differences. Love speaks. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world. So what did God do? He was not seated on His throne saying, I'm enjoying my time as God. No. That's not the type of God we serve. He looked down upon His children and He said, my children are suffering. They made a mistake. They listened to the voice of the serpent. And now they are bound with chains. And I am the only one who can rescue them. Not the angels, not the seraphims, not the cherubims. No one can do it. Because they are all imperfect. God says, even when He looked at the angels, He says, they are not perfect. We say holy angels in the Bible, but the Bible tells us even God looks at the angels and says they are not perfect like Him. Which is why the angels bow down before God and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, perfect in character. There is a message about the 10 characters of God, and one of them predominantly is holiness. We have an almighty God. We have an all-powerful God. But we also have a God that is love. Apostle John mentions this in the book of John. God is love. When Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ, what did Jesus say? Friend, why are you here? He knew why he was there, but he wanted to remind him that he was called to be an apostle. One of the saddest verses in the Bible, in the book of John and in the Gospels, is there they crucified him. Four words that shook the world. There, where the most religious, the most Christian, the most Bible-knowing, God-knowing people. That town, Jerusalem, where the temple of God was built, that town, Jerusalem, where the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was present, where the high priest was present, where sacrifices were offered, where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year to hear from God, the holiest place on planet Earth, there, they, who are they? The chosen people, the Jews, who have the promises of God, the children of Abraham, about whom God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The people whom God called His people, and whom God called Israel. They, what did they do? Crucified. The most terrible, painful, horrible, torturous death. Him, who is Him? The Son of God, the jewel of the universe, the greatest in the universe, the most precious in the universe, the Son of God who was in the bosom of the Father, who has no beginning or no end. Him, the most precious of God the Father, they crucified. There they crucified Him. God didn't give us the second best. God gave us the best. Of everything in the universe, God the Father loved Jesus Christ the most. And He gave the best for the worst sinners on this planet. God told Adam, I give you everything, just don't eat of that one tree. And they put their hand in the cookie jar, and the snake bit them, and sin came into this world. Not literally, but God told them not to eat the apple of that one tree, and that's the one tree they ate. There were so many apples, so many beautiful apples, much better than that. And they decided to eat of that. And the sadness and the pain that God felt. People say, if He was a loving God, why would He throw people in the lake of fire? Therefore, He's not a loving God. That's because the way you judge love is different. Today, when children turn 18, and they say, I don't need you, Daddy and Mama, I'm packing my bags, I'm leaving. I'm going to go ahead and go live with somebody else. And Mommy and Dad plead with them, please, darling, please, honey. Daddy and Mommy will take care of you. No, I don't like you. I hate you. What did we do to you? Well, I just hate you. Oh, okay. Well, we'll be waiting for you. Whenever you feel like you want Daddy and Mommy, you can come back. So God doesn't send anyone to hell. They literally leave His presence and run to Satan. They say Satan is better. There's a little story about a man who told all his friends at work and everywhere, you know, Satan is really cool, Satan is awesome, so I'm going to go check it out. And so he died. And he went in an elevator down to hell. And Satan met him. He was really cool. He was beautiful. They all danced with the devil and everything. And they had a good time. And he came back and said, it's right. Hell is so cool and Satan is such a sweet person. They've misrepresented him. And then he really died. That was just a dream. He really died one day, and then he went And as he was going towards hell, there was a mountain there that was split in two. And he saw the writing on the split mountain, "This is hell. You are doomed for eternity. Eternity never ends." And he said, "No, I'm going to run in the wrong direction." There was a big creature like a T-Rex that showed up, grabbed him by the hair on his head, and threw him into the lake of fire. And he told the devil, "That dream that you gave me, you were so cool. This is torture, eternity, lake of fire. I can't even put my finger on a candlelight. This is torture, my whole body is burning." And Satan said, "Well, what do you mean Satan is cool and hell is, you thought hell were really cool? Well, remember the dream that I had, devil?" And the devil said, "Well, that was just the internship. That was just the recruiting department. That was just the business department. We tried to recruit a lot of people by showing them deceptive things about me and hell. Oh, you also got deceived like the 99.9% in this world? Oh no, I'm not a purse god of love or anything. I'm devil. That's why they call me devil. I'm here to torture you and make you feel pain." And then the man said, "Why did God allow me to..." Oh, devil said, "Let me stop, interrupt you. God didn't throw you to hell. You believed me and hated God, and then you ended up in the lake of fire. Don't blame God. I know God. All the demons believe God and tremble. But you are stuck with me for eternity. You will face torture because you chose this, friend. You made your reservation when we had that recruitment meeting." So God saw all this going on. And he said, "The whole world will perish. Even that 0.1% won't come to me if I don't send my son." We hear his voice in the Garden of Eden, "Adam, where art thou?" So Jesus Christ came down for that 0.1%. Why are we saying 0.1%? Because many people have gone to hell and heaven and resuscitated by the doctors and CPR, or raised up by God and came back, and they said consistently that they saw the narrow way and they saw the broad way that he leads to hell. And they said, for every almost 1,000 people that go to hell, one person they see on that lonely narrow way walking towards the pearly gate. Because God doesn't deceive like the devil. He just says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He doesn't have to advertise on TV about his love and everything, because it's shown in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The world, the trees, the parents' love, everything is shown in creation. For God so loved the world, so what did he do? He gave. What did Satan give? Nothing. You see all these riots all over the U.S. and the Democrats saying, "Oh yeah, we love you." Oh yeah. The Bible calls them thieves. "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what these riots are doing. Stealing, killing, destroying. They are coming from the pits of hell. Now when we say Democrats, we are not accusing a political party. We are accusing the demons and the rats that are inspiring them from the lake of fire, hell. It is the policy, it's the perspective that we are going after. And one thing we want everybody to understand, including the Democrats and the witches and Lucifer and all the demons and all of Hollywood, we want to make this very clear. God told Joshua and God told Jesus The word Jesus comes from the word Joshua. You'll see that interchangeably in the New Testament. God told Joshua, no one can stand before you. And so when almost the entire land of Canaan came against the Israelites. And Joshua said to the sun and moon, stand still. And it stood still, according to the word of the Lord. And the battle was over. The Canaanites, the enemy, was overcome by the power of Almighty God. God rained rocks, he rained stones, he rained fire, he rained all kinds of things. He fought for his people. And then Joshua called all the captains of the armies of Israel. And he called the kings of the Canaanites. And Joshua told the captains of the armies, now you put your leg on the necks of all these kings who fought against us. And he said, the necks of all thine enemies will be under thy feet, O Israel. We are the true Israel now, because we have accepted Jesus Christ. We are the true descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because we have believed the word of God. Even so, a warning to all the Democrats and the demons and the witches and Lucifer and all his hosts. It has already been declared in the book of Genesis that the seed will crush thy head. They can jump up and down, they can steal, kill and destroy, but their necks and head will be under our feet. Yes, they nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross of Calvary. It shall bruise thy feet. He shall bruise thy feet, but it shall crush thy head. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So people say God is not a God of love. Well, we answered that. People chose to go to the lake of fire. God didn't send them. Next, in order to be saved, the first thing that needs to be happening is faith. That whosoever believeth on him. A guy is in the prison. The governor gives a pardon. The prison guard provides the pardon. Now, the prisoner has to believe that the governor has given a pardon. Many prisoners said, I don't think the governor will do that. He's a bad man. I don't believe that's from the governor. You're just faking it. Nah, I'll just stay in this prison. Well, he got executed, or she got executed, because they didn't believe the pardon. Oh, it's so easy. I don't like easy stuff. Well, you stole everybody's stuff. That's why you ended up in prison. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's all paid for. Jesus Christ has provided everything. The entire universe is yours. God is yours. Jesus is yours. And if you say no, you lose everything. So the focus of today's message is God has given us everything. I remember when I was doing my PhD dissertation, it was taking a little while. And I said, Lord, I thought I was done. Why is it taking a while before everything is over and they say, yep, you got your PhD, here it is. Why is it taking time? And that night, as I was praying, God spoke to me in the night in a dream. And I saw the heavens and the glory of God and the universe. And God spoke to me, by me, the Almighty God, by whom all things are determined in heaven and in earth, all things, including this one, will be given unto you at the time appointed by God Almighty. Without him, not a single atom in this universe will move. That was the powerful word of Almighty God. But the beautiful thing in that is, God has provided everything for us. Everything belongs to us. So we don't have to lust after stuff. We don't have to worry about stuff. It's all ours. Look at the world. Everything is yours. Look at the universe. Everything is yours. God told Abraham, can you count the stars? Even so shall thy seed be. We are heirs and joint heirs of Christ. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But we are not interested in this universe or in this world. Our focus is Jesus. He's our heavenly bridegroom. He's our love. He's our longing. He's our hope. And here's what he said. My grace is sufficient for thee. The words that we just read about the love of Jesus, we read in the book of Ephesians. And to know the love of Jesus that passeth all understanding. And that verse says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Some people might say, well, Jesus loves me, I love Jesus, I don't need church. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 and onwards, that only when we assemble as the church may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the fullness of the love of Christ. An independent person worshiping separately cannot comprehend the love of Jesus. If he cannot comprehend the love of Jesus, he will not grow into the love of Jesus. And if he does not grow into the love of Jesus, he will not attain the perfection in love that Jesus Christ wants to be taken up in his rapture. And that is what Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 says. That's why God has kept apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, children of God in the church of the living God, that we may observe one another to love and to good works, and understand the love of Christ that passeth all knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. We see bits and pieces of the love of Christ from the Word of God that we read. Some children of God, just because God said no when they prayed, they think Jesus doesn't love them. Apostle Paul, scholar says, had a little eye problem. There was water coming out of his eyes, things coming out of his eyes, and people were kind of detested when he was preaching because he had to wipe his eyes frequently. And so he asked Jesus, can you please heal me? This is really difficult. It's irritating. It's uncomfortable. This disease, I don't like it. And Jesus said, well, the reason this was given unto you is because I don't want you to fall in pride. So every time Apostle Paul went to third heaven, saw God's throne, and wondered, wow, look at all the revelations God is giving me. The messenger of Satan showed up. Well, you know, God created Lucifer, so everybody reports to him, even though they are evil. He's in control of everything. Once God gave me a dream and I've shared it, he showed me all the people in Congress. They looked like silver statues. And then I saw the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and all the angels in a booth in front of them. And they also looked like silver but shining. And the angels and God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost had their index finger and their thumb on the left and right temple of all the congressmen and congresswomen. So they could not move beyond the angle that God allowed them to move. And then I was seeing who does God the Father has his hand on? And I saw AOC, that young person who's less than 30 years, who wants to take over Congress and bring communism to U.S. So God the Father had his fingers on the left and right temple. And then I understood from that everybody, the devil, the demons, Lucifer, witches, Hollywood, Democrats, everybody in this universe are clasped and chained between God's thumb and index finger. Everything is in God's control. Even the sun and the moon and the stars have to stay in the orbit that God has provided for them. Such great creatures, such great things like the sun and the moon and the stars, if they are subject to God and obey Him, how much more human beings that are made of the dust of this earth. This morning we were reading the Bible. Oh, people have great ambitions, great thoughts. They want to wipe out the word America. They want to wipe out the word USA. They want to bring communism. If you were in the Church of the Living God, I would say something else, but because you're not, all I have to say is, I wish you bad luck, because that ain't going to happen. America is not going to cease to exist. United States is not going to become a nation that does not have one under God. God is going to fix the foundation. The people elected Obama. This comes from Revelation. The people elected Obama, and he tried to remove layer after layer of the roof. And one day God showed me all the military planes bombing USA, the great building, and layer after layer of the roof was peeled off. And I asked God, Lord, is he doing it intentionally? He is, but he's not directly doing it, my son. He's allowing it to be done. However, God said, Obama cannot touch the foundation of USA because it is founded on the Word of God. And therefore, nobody can touch the foundation as long as the Church of the Living God is on this planet. Because we have authority, we have power, and we are the children of Almighty God. And God has given this world and this universe to His church, not to those who hate it. So there will be a great revival in USA. God will pour out the latter rain, and nobody can stop it, because God is Almighty. And then I asked the Lord, Lord, how is this going to happen? And God said, read Ezekiel. What did I tell Ezekiel? Son of man, can these dry bones live? And he said, O Lord, thou knowest. And God said, I'm not going to do it. You do it. Command the dry bones that they may live. And he did, and they became an army. Even so, God will raise up a mighty army in the U.S. Nobody can stop this from happening. And that's why Psalm 33 says, not the counsel of Lucifer or the counsel of demons or the counsel of witches or the counsel of Hollywood or the counsel of the Democrats, but the counsel of the Lord God Almighty standeth forever, and the counsel of the Lord God Almighty's thoughts will stand to all generations. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You can ride upon horses, the most shiniest and stronger horses. You'll be thrown off those horses. And the horses will run off into the sunset. But you'll be on the floor. They may say, oh, Pastor, you're speaking in allegories. Oh, well, you want to know how it happened in the Bible? Saul was sailing to Damascus. He was going to go ahead and crush the church of the living God, about whom God said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He was riding on a horse with all his buddies, trying to wipe out Christianity. Jesus showed up. He fell off the horse blind. We need to understand that God is completely in control. Saul became Apostle Paul, and God used him to write the New Testament. There was a man who was a communist, and he said, "I will make sure that the Bible is wiped out." He lived in Europe. When he died, they bought his house, and that became the first printing press to print the Bible. God has a sense of humor. When somebody says they will wipe out Christianity, God takes that person and makes him preach Christianity. The love of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So God told Paul, now an apostle, "Paul, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So God did not take away the ailment or the weakness that Apostle Paul had, but he made him understand that he needs to depend on God. And so Apostle Paul started glorying in that weakness that he had and started writing in the epistles. And Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient. What do you need? My grace. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Yesterday I was praying for so many things. I kneeled down, I lay down, I kneeled down. And then early morning I woke up and I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, "My son, everything is fine. I am with thee." I said, wow. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens in our body, in our family, what happens around us. What matters is that God is with us. Yeah, they threw Joseph in the hole. They digged him out and sold him as a slave to Potiphar. The lady in the house accused him of adultery wrongly, and he was thrown into the prison. But there's one verse that stands out. But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. As long as we don't give up, we can cry. We can feel sad. But we should not lose faith. We should not give up. Why should we not give up? Have you ever seen a man with eyes on his back? Have you ever seen a man with the nose pointing towards the back of his head, or the mouth on the back of his head? Or have you ever seen a man with his legs reversed? Even the hand, you can almost make a full cycle in forward motion, but when you move it backwards, it hurts. Ouch! I can't move my hand backwards. Why? Why did God put everything in the front? Because he wants us to move forward. He wants us to go forward. Keep moving forward. A man went to Charles C.H. Spurgeon and said, "I've already failed that chemistry test twice. Maybe God doesn't want me to do chemistry. It's hard." And Charles C.H. Spurgeon said the great words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "If at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again." We don't give up. We keep fighting until the enemy of Lucifer is under the feet of the church of the living God. Why? Because the promise has already been given. Upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God has provided everything for us. He provided His Son. He loved us so much. There is no measuring of His love. Matthew 6:26 says, "Behold the fowl of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them." Can you believe that God feedeth the fowls of the air? All these birds, they don't have a job. They don't even apply for unemployment insurance. And God feeds them. He waters them. And what about the grass of the field? Even Solomon, if there was a JCPenney's, I don't think he would have shopped there. He would have shopped at the top of the line shops. But the Bible says, the grass of the field and the roses and the lilies are clothed with a body that's more beautiful than what Solomon was clothed in. Are we not much better than they? The birds and the grass of the field, the flowers, they were created for us. If they were created for us and God takes so much care for them because they were created for us, how much more will He take care of us? And then He says, "O ye of little faith." And when Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven," they said, "Oh my goodness, we forgot to take bread." And He said, "Didn't you have 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Don't you know how many people I fed?" Jesus even teaches us to pray. He even helps us walk. Romans 8:26, "Like the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray." Oh my goodness, I thought I knew how to pray. But Romans 8:26 says, Pastor Daniel doesn't have a clue how to pray. He doesn't even know how to pray. That's what Romans 8:26 says, unless someone can give me a different interpretation. "For we know not how we should pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So what the Bible tells us is, you guys are clueless. Y'all don't know how to pray, speaking in Texan. And so the Spirit says, "Let me take over. Give me the keys here, Lord. Okay, this is how you pray. Just give me your mouth." And you speak in tongue, get filled with the Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit prays. And so when God hears prayer, He says, angels come to Him and say, Pastor Daniel is praying. He must be really in trouble. Nope, that's not Daniel. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God Almighty praying to God Almighty. And I've literally seen the Holy Spirit in my bedroom, kneeling down and praying. The prayer of faith, a powerful prayer. He was on his knees, below his knees, and his body was at right angles. He was praying the most fervent prayer that I've ever prayed. I was half asleep when I saw him. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, "Don't worry about anything. Just get filled with the Spirit and pray and praise." So if God does everything, He's provided everything, even prays for us, what are we supposed to do? Nothing. Our duty is just to enjoy the lap of God the Father, enjoy His presence, enjoy His glory. Have you ever seen princes doing anything? You know, Queen Elizabeth's children? Well, yeah, they have a job, they have things to do, but we are children of God Almighty. Our job is to praise Him. If we go to work and do the gardening and do other things, we're just doing it because we like it. That's our hobby. A hobby that turned into a job. But our duty, our joy is the presence of our God. Who would say no when God says, "In the presence of God there is fullness of joy, at His right hands are pleasures forevermore, and I enjoy your company." We are here to enjoy God. Will we understand Him? Well, we can't even understand an apple. We can't even understand an orange. We can't even understand a hamburger. but we can enjoy it. That is God, our Father. It will take us eternity to understand God. It will take us eternity to understand His love, but we can enjoy it. Therefore, the Bible says, I have provided everything for you. And don't be like in Luke 21:34, worrying. Don't worry. Just praise. Thank God. Praise Him. Glorify Him. Because a lot of people are going to be left out in the rapture because they are worrying. That's what Luke 21:34 says. Luke 8:14 says, they grew up, but the thorns choked them. The cares of this life, the worries of this life. Philippians 4:19, Paul got tired of seeing the church worry about silly stuff, sweating the small stuff. And he said, okay, guys, I don't know who your God is, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Through Christ, my God is a rich God. You know, when I give my children gifts, they say, Daddy, do you have enough money? How are you able to afford it? I say, I don't, but my daddy is rich. Oh, who's that? Oh, yeah, I know. You're talking about Jesus, right? Yeah, of course I am. 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. For all things are yours. Everything is yours. That's what the Bible tells us. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours and you are Christ. And Christ is God's. In the book of Song of Solomon, the Bible says, the church says, I am my beloved's and He is mine. In John 20:17, Jesus says, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Song of Solomon 2:16 says, my beloved is mine, I am His, He belongs to me, I belong to Him. Song of Solomon 6:3, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God, He is not somebody else's God. What does God mean? God means He'll do everything for us. He's done everything for us. He's doing everything for us. He's going to do everything for us. We just need to enjoy Him. Psalm 48:14, and praise Him. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto the end. So when we get raptured, let's not say, oh my goodness, that October 22nd of 2021, I wish I had praised God more and glorified Him instead of worrying and being concerned about everything and getting irritated because I had a flat tire and my car ended up in a ditch. Well, maybe the guy that was planning to hire you was going to pass by and ask you, do you need help? And you told him, well, just a little bit. And he asked you, who are you? And, well, you know, I just applied for a job and I was just praying and asking Jesus to help me out. And, oh, really? Where did you apply? Well, I applied at Bechtel. Oh, okay, I'm the hiring authority. Give me a phone number. Let me have you report to work on Monday. Well, it actually happened to me. That's why I'm saying it. I had a flat tire when I was at University of Tennessee. I was with $50 in the bank and a guy showed up waiting for AAA to tow my car. And his name was Gomes. I showed him where the class is. He found out who I was, where I'd interviewed, and he said, I am the boss of the guy who interviewed you. And the call came during the weekend. I had to report to work on Monday. So, some things that happen in our life, almost everything, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, God does not do these things just to give us a job. He does that so we will become like Jesus, the jewel of the universe. God's ultimate goal is to make us look like Jesus. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us and empower us. May we enjoy the presence of Almighty God. May we enjoy our daddy. Jump onto his lap and say, Daddy, I love you. And kiss him and hug him and enjoy him. And the father will say, oh, my child, I'm so happy I'm enjoying every bit of you. I hope you'll stay on my lap.